Hey guys, welcome back to Percussion Perspective. You got Kevin with
Remy.
Was that like delayed for some reason?
My dramatic effect.
Okay. You never know with this program we use. Sometimes it might be 35 seconds behind each other. Anyway, well, welcome back, guys. This is going to be episode number 34.
Hey, guys, welcome to...
And we're going to be talking about stickings. We're going to be talking about stickings in this episode, some different methods that we use, why we use certain methods, when it's okay to break and stray away from that method, and stuff like that. So should be a good little topic. This is going to kind of range all the way from, you know, concert percussion and marching percussion and everything in between, different instruments and when you would use different stickings on those and stuff like that. So before we get into it, Remy, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's getting really hot here in Oklahoma. We're at the end of July, and I've been doing a lot of work outside recently, like in the yard and stuff like that. So I've just been like sweating a ton and taking like 15 showers a day. And we're starting band camp this week and all of that. So yeah, summer's over basically. Been writing a lot of music, stuff like that. So how are you, dude?
Yeah, same. Just had a crazy weekend. Last episode we talked about the band that I play in, and we had a gig over the weekend. We played for Eskimo Joe's 50th anniversary, and talk about sweating. Yeah, unloading my stuff at 2 p.m. and trying to get it all set up and ready to go. Yeah, just constant heat stroke, it felt like. But yeah, Bandcamp is also going to be starting up really soon. It feels like we just like talked about summer starting. I'm excited. I'm excited to get going and kind of like there's a exciting thing about the beginning of the year and having a new drum line, new percussion section and new show music and stuff like that. And the kids are, you know, at their most excited, I think, you know, when they come back to band camp. So that's fun. And I always kind of forget that I think when band camp is starting, I also am like, oh yes, school actually doesn't start for like a month. Or something.
Yeah, I was kind of having like that existential crisis the other day, and I was like, oh wait, we've got like 3 weeks until actual school starts.
Like, so it's just band camp, and then
it's kind of a nice way to like, you know, this is going to be the first marching season with two kids, and so for
you only have two kids in your marching band,
right? Yeah, bass drum and snare drum. No, with two biological children living at my home with, you know, me and my wife.
Right.
And is that the normal way to say it?
I think so. Yeah.
And so, you know, my wife and I, Sarah and I have talked about like, this is going to be kind of a tough marching season because this is the first time we've had two kids and she stays home and I'm super busy. And, you know, our daughter is almost three and she's like a really good big sister, but she's very like, she's very needy sometimes, and she also really wants to help with everything, which is great. But sometimes toddlers helping with stuff, actually, well, almost all the time, toddlers helping with stuff just makes it more difficult. And so it's really hard for Sarah to deal with that. And it's, you know, been good to be home this summer and like be there to help. But then whenever school starts, it's like, yeah, it's just going to be a little bit hard. We're going to have to adjust to that. Me not being here all day like I have been through the summer, but yeah, I'm excited too. Band camp's always kind of a good thing to sort of ease you into the school year. And then honestly, once the school year starts, it kind of feels like it's like, like at least I'm not in a marching band rehearsal for seven straight hours or whatever, you know, you just go to like the hour and a half in the morning and then you go teach your other classes. So,
yeah.
And I'm excited. I've got a new schedule this year, so that'll be fun to going to get to see every single kid every single day.
Yeah.
Which will be cool. But yeah, let's talk about stickings, man.
Let's do it. Well, we can start off with a vocabulary lesson. But do you want to tell our listeners what is sticking?
Yeah. So what is quote unquote sticking? If you're not a percussionist, you might not be familiar with that term. Sticking basically is, fundamentally, it is how you play a rhythm, how you actually play a drum. If you have one, tay, two, and you play that right, 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 that would be a certain sticking. If you play right, left, right, or left, right, left, or left, left, right, or whatever, it's the combination of R's and L's that you use to accomplish a rhythm, or melody or whatever, you know, but relating this back to snare drum rhythm. So that would be my most basic definition is, you know, combination of right hand and left hand to play a certain rhythm.
Yeah. When to use your right, when to use your left.
Yeah. And there's lots of schools of thoughts and schools of thought. And we're going to kind of dive into those a little bit today and tell you what we use and what works best for us and how we teach our kids to do that. And there's not just one right answer, but a lot of the time there is a, you know, most correct answer. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about why sticking is important. And honestly, if you're an educator, start using that term pretty quickly with your young kids. I find myself in with my sixth graders, like I find myself starting to use that term without even having really explained it to the kids. And they're like, what is sticking? What do you mean? And it's like, oh yeah, I need to actually say this term. And so if you're a teacher, use the term sticking early and explain to the kids what they mean. So then you can ask them that and they're not like, oh, what does that mean? So get that in as part of the musical terms that you teach. But why is it so important, stickings? It's important because you need to set a standard for your kids and I'm kind of talking sixth grade right now, but set a standard for your kids so that they know when they see a certain rhythm, they know right off the bat, their brain knows without them having to even think about it. They know what sticking combination to use so that the more you teach them, the muscle memory will kick in. They'll be able to play rhythms easier. They'll be able to sight read rhythms easier because their brain doesn't have to think about what sticking to use. They just kind of already know because you've practiced it. So, so let's talk about some of the sticking types. Natural sticking being number one, right?
Yeah. Natural sticking, or a lot of times you'll hear it called right hand lead. That one is probably the most popular. That's what I teach. I know that's what you teach. That's probably what I'm just going to throw a number, but 93% of music educators or percussion educators teach. And it is it's exactly what it sounds like. Your right hand is taking the lead on most of that stuff. And, you know, I'm sorry for those of you that are left-handed. My wife is left-handed and she always was kind of like, well, that's not fair. And it's like, well, most of the world is right-handed. That's just how it is. Sorry. Yeah, your right hand is taking the lead. So that's where, like, no matter what rhythm you're playing, right hand is always going to start on beat one. And then you're pretty much going to alternate from there. There are a few caveats to that. So if you just had like a straight measure of eighth notes, right? One, tay, two, tay, three, tay, four, tay. In right hand lead, you would start right, left, and then just keep going. That way your right hand is always on the downbeat. Your left hand is always on the upbeat. If you start adding 16ths into that, then your right hand is going to play that solid pulse of eighth notes underneath your 16ths. And then your left hand plays those upbeat 16ths. So you get like one ti-ta, two ti-ta, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. And that just keeps each hand doing the same thing. And it just creates a lot of consistency. But it can, you know, it does present problems every once in a while. If you're playing some fast 16th patterns, then sometimes your right hand ends up doing quite a bit more work than your left hand. So, you know, I know a lot of percussionists and drummers who, if they have to play really fast with one hand, they're always going to play with their right hand because it's just like their right hand just gets beefier. Their chops are a lot better on their right hand because their right hand plays more. But yeah, I don't know. How else would you explain right hand lead?
No, I think I think you did a good job. I mean, I think it's
thanks, man.
When you're well, I have to say that. when you're teaching right hand lead, it's also it helps with consistency and understanding a bunch of different rhythms outside of like if you're thinking about 4/16th notes, you're thinking right, left, and then all of the combinations of rhythms that come out of 4/16th notes are all going to be those exact same stickings are going to be in the exact same place. So if you take right, left, and then if you're playing, you know, 1-T-Tay, you're still just using right, left, right. It's in the same order. If you're thinking 1-Tay-Ta, it's still right, left, or 1-Ta-2, it's right, left, right. So it's like in a kid's brain, they can kind of just picture 4/16th notes, right, left, and then go from there to create all of the different combinations within that. And so that's why I think it's like mathematically and visually easier to comprehend that way. And then when you're thinking about like consistency in pulse too, if you're playing, you know, I always picture Peter's one in that book. It's like that whole book is set up. If you use right hand lead, that your right hand is playing consistent eighth notes almost every single measure. Yeah, your right hand is playing like consistent eighth notes almost that entire page. I mean, there's a couple of times where it like stops on a quarter note, it'll pause for a second. But yeah, that helps just kind of create the right hand keeping that eighth note pulse, and you're just popping that left hand in when it's time to play one of the offbeat 16th. So I mean, I can see the value also in using alternating, which is we'll talk about that in a minute. But when it comes to relating natural sticking to like a whole group wanting to play consistently together, even sixth graders all the way up into your drum line, it's going to create consistency instead of every other kid is going to be using alternating and you're just going to have different tendencies in their preps and all that stuff. So
yeah, I like what you said about, and I say this to my students all the time, like visualize the four note. And I just use my four fingers. Like I just hold up a four right, left, that demonstrates your 4/16ths. Cause let's be honest, as percussionists, as snare drummers, especially in concert band, like most of the patterns that we play are 16th based, eighth note and 16th based. So it's like that right, left, all you're doing is whichever one you're removing, right? So if it's like 1-T-Tay, then you're removing ta. So right, left, and that left hand is gone. So yeah, like I really think that making sure that makes it into your kid's mind is really, really important. One thing that I've done is like just, you know, counting rhythms is super important, but we will also like, we'll say the sticking. So I'll have my kids like as we're counting rhythms, you know, they'll count it the first time with just like the Eastman system. And then they'll say right, left, right. So I think counting stickings, you know, is really important. One thing that does get a little confusing sometimes, because there's a little bit of nuance to all sticking, but right hand lead or natural sticking specifically. And you can maybe, if you've got a comment on this, you know, lay it on me. But so like how, I mean, do you teach your kids to stick two eighth notes right, if it's in the middle of a 16th passage, or do you have them alternate those? Cause you can't really tell a kid all your downbeats and upbeats are going to be with your right, and all your, you know, T's and ta's are going to be with your left. Because if you get, you know, 1-T-Tay-Ta, 2-T-Tay-Ta, 3-Tay, I'm personally going to stick 3-Tay right, left. I'm going to alternate those two notes.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. I'd play like right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Because then, I mean, this is where the challenge of like teaching it to a group or teaching it to one kid is going to, like, we'll talk about that later, but you could do either one. I mean, you know what, whatever sounds good, I guess, right, is what you could do. But yeah, I would teach, because when we teach eighth notes in the world of like, if we're adding eighth notes to quarter notes right off the bat earlier in the year, you're not going to teach quarter note and then two right hand notes on the eighth note. Like you're going to be wanting to work out, your single stroke roll, basically. You're going to want to go right,
yeah,
right, left, right. So I wouldn't change that to two rights if it was after 16 yeah. notes.
I've always tried to find a way to explain it. Our college professor had told me, because there was one semester when we were each, when I was in grad school, we were each teaching a section of percussion techniques. And I was like, Wayne, how do I teach sticking to these kids? Like, I mean, they're instrumentalists, like, but they're just not percussionists. And it's like, this is one of the weirdest things to teach them, because like, it's not like they have a right and a left embouchure. Like, they just play through the same embouchure, no matter what the rhythm is. I mean, you have like double tonguing and stuff like that, which I guess you could get into, like, do you use the front or the back, or I don't know how to talk about that. But, nope. I remember him saying something to the effect of, like, you know, look like beat by beat, and then take you, like, you always want to try to start each beat with the right hand if you can. And then take your smallest subdivision of the beat and alternate that. So it would be like that rhythm we were just saying, one tete to two tete to three te, your right hand would start the first group of 16ths, then you alternate, then beat two, it's 16ths again, your right hand starts and alternates. Then when you get to beat three, you take that, the smallest subdivision of beat three, which is two eighth notes, you start on the right hand and you alternate. Like, does that make sense?
Yep.
So yeah. Anyway, it's just, it does get hard to explain to kids. And honestly, I don't, maybe for my first couple of years of teaching, I probably made the mistake of getting too in the weeds on that and immediately telling them, like, okay, well, you're going to stick it this way, unless this, and maybe because this, and if it's Tuesday at 5:45, so it, you know, sometimes less is more. Sometimes it's just like, look, this is how we stick that rhythm. Okay. And you know, like you were saying, when there's two eighth note, when you're learning eighth note combinations, your right hand plays the downbeats, your left hand plays the upbeats. And then when you get to 16ths, it just gets smaller, but you do the same thing. Your right hand plays the downbeats and upbeats, and your left hand plays the upbeat 16ths. So anyway, then you get into triplets and things like that, and it does get a little bit more complicated. But I think if you just, you know, take a little bit at a time, making sure that you're starting rhythms on the right hand. A big thing with right hand lead sticking is you always want beat one to be on the right hand. So, for instance, if you have like a triplet starting on beat four, you would want, even though beat four is a downbeat, you know, quote unquote, like it's a downbeat as far as like your foot goes, it's not the downbeat of the measure. But if that triplet starts on beat four, you would want that to start on your left hand, left, right, left, right, so that your right hand ended on beat one, you know? And
yeah,
for some kids that's really hard, but you just have to do it enough and get that muscle memory and develop that muscle memory to where it just feels wrong to play it otherwise.
I think also the goal of teaching stickings to younger kids, beginners, is like, it's like when you teach kids notes on a staff, it's like the bottom space is an F. When we play 4/16th notes, we play right, left, right, left. It's just like you're telling them exactly what to do. And then later on, it's like, even though that bottom note F is not going to change unless you're talking about bass clef or something. But yeah, rules will always change. But I also like to think about it as like, so if you were doing four quarter notes and it was like two quarter notes and then a quarter note rest and then a quarter note on four, like right, left, rest, left.
Right. Correct. Yeah, correct.
Because if you think about like what rhythm are we eventually going to learn that is that sticking also is like one T, ta two. So a lot of these rhythms are going to eventually
te or whatever.
Yeah. Like a lot of these rhythms are just going to be the same sticking, just like twice as fast and then twice as fast and then twice as fast. So if they've got it down at that lower speed, it kind of helps progress to faster speeds later because they've got the motions.
Yeah, that's where what Wayne said about like the smallest subdivision. If quarter notes are your subdivision and you've got one, two, rest, four, then right, left, left, you know? And then like you said, it just gets twice as fast or three times as fast or whatever.
And when, and I think also if you just have a measure of eighth notes and you're just going right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, and then you have eighth note rest, eighth note, eighth note rest, eighth note, just pop, use the left hand on all of those because they're already used to thinking about the tay of the beat is on the left hand. So they already have consistency there. I think that's kind of the whole point. So anyway, that is natural sticking.
45 minutes later.
The next one is just alternating, which is probably the arch nemesis of natural sticking. It's like what a lot of people or a lot of other people, those other folks would use. And that is just simply starting a measure with your right hand and then completely alternating from there. So if you had a, measure of one, ta ta two, ta ta three, ta ta four, ta ta one, the alternating people would say right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Which I think the whole purpose of their argument is that you're just like you don't have a single weak hand. Like once you've learned how to play, it's like your hands are equally as strong. I just don't know if that's true. I mean, if you've gone from the first day of your life to being in sixth grade and you're a right-handed kid, then your left hand is already
weaker. Like,
your left hand is already weaker, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
I mean, you can build them up. I do think like alternating or like you said, hand to hand. It's valuable to be able to do that. And I think there are a lot of, at least from my experience, it seems like a lot of like orchestral musicians will play hand to hand. Like you end up using timpani, or you end up using hand to hand or alternating sticking on timpani a lot and on keyboard a lot. And we can talk about that. That's not because it's the right way to play that rhythm or the most correct way to play that rhythm. It's because you have more than one surface to play on. Right. And so,
we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah. So anyway, it does seem like the majority of the people that do play alternating or hand-to-hand sticking would be like either orchestral people or orchestral percussionists, or even I've seen a lot of drum set people, like people that don't have like strong roots in rudimental percussion, which is like if you grow up in a good band program.
Yeah.
You're generally going to be taught like rudimentally how to do things. And so that natural sticking, that right hand lead sticking is like the rudimental answer to sticking.
And if you look at a lot of like those old time, like the, oh my gosh, what's the Wilcoxon solos, like all those things are always like right hand lead in a lot of those old rudimental snare solos.
Yeah. The Pratt book and all the Marty Hurley stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and alternating's, I mean, it's fine. I think alternating has its place in a lot of things.
That same, you know, that Peters intermediate number one, like that, it was like my freshman year of college. I went and this is a really good study for anybody that you don't do this with your sixth graders. Cause you just confuse them, but you have older high school kids, more mature kids. It's like, hey, this might look easy, but I want you now to learn this Peters etude. I want you to learn it with natural sticking, and then I want you to learn it with alternating sticking. And you're just going to play it. But like, you know, if you have kids in lessons or whatever, or you're doing pass offs, it's like, all right, you got to play number one, the first four lines with natural, and then you got to play it with alternating. And like, you know, it should sound the same. And it's just, you can't ever stop developing. So you can't just be like, oh, I've mastered natural sticking. All right, now I have nothing else left to do. It's like, well, you're going to need to use a lot of that alternating sticking in certain scenarios. So you need to be good at it as well. So practicing both is really valuable.
Yeah. And the other one would just be like complete chaos, which is what happens when you don't teach kids how to stick anything. Because I've seen kids before who just like, they don't have any structure when it comes to sticking. So I guess that would probably end up making it seem like they're using alternating, but I don't think they are. I think they're just using whatever their brain wants. So, you know, if you're an educator, having one of those two systems, be something that you very aggressively use with young kids, just so they know, how to play these rhythms and how to develop them later on. So,
And you said systems, and I like that. I always refer to it as like a sticking system, because it is. It's like you're teaching them a well thought out approach to how to play rhythms. So that, like you said, when they see Wantite, they know, right? Like they don't even have to think about after maybe like by the time they're in eighth grade, they really shouldn't be having to think about how am I going to stick this until they get into some really weird or really complicated stuff. So yeah, that complete chaos, you know, I like the parenthesis, like on the outline, it's like avoid this type in parentheses. Yeah, avoid it. I know that's one thing that I notice about, you know, like screening kids for beginning percussion in while they're in fifth grade. I'll have them, we'll do like some echo playing, and I'll play like, you know, da, 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 digga, digga, da. And they go like, right, left, left, right, 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 left, left. They just do weird stuff. And it's like the chaos is kind of like the natural state of a lot of things. Everything wants to kind of like fall into chaos. So, just having a plan and making sure that your students understand it. So that was a long time talking about those.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, moving on, which method do we use and why? I feel like we kind of talked about that. If, you know, we just talked about the two different types and we spent 90% of the time talking about right hand lead. So we both use right hand lead. I think it most, I can't think of a word. It most successfully sets up your students, to just keep going. You know, it sets you up for success. It translates to everything. There are always times when you're going to have to change it, like we had talked about on timpani or keyboard or something with multiple surfaces. But it's just a good way to impart muscle memory into kids and consistency. And, you know, percussion's already hard. They already have to be good at multiple instruments, and you don't want them also having to think about sticking as they're thinking about technique and approach and timing and all that stuff. But it helps all that too. Like it helps your technique that you play the same rhythm with the same sticking every time. And it helps your timing when your right hand is playing that fundamental pulse underneath and your left hand's filling in the gaps. So that, and then we should also talk about, you know, whenever these kids eventually get up into high school, and they're playing in like a drum line or a front ensemble thing where you're playing in an ensemble where the sticking really matters, as like a visual component as well. If everyone's just been allowed to, you know, fall into chaos for the last 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden they're on the drum line and like the bass drum unisons are all, everyone's playing different stickings and the snares are playing different stickings and you have the windshield wiper thing going, like, it just looks bad and it sounds bad and it's never going to be clean. So it's just really important. And in my opinion, like right hand lead's the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Will they? No. The next kind of thing is to talk about, because obviously with any kind of set of rules, which I think this is something you were going to talk about, there's always going to be a time to stray away from them and break them. So when is it okay to stray away from the sticking method that you have tried to teach your kids? Because at some point there's going to be a time where
when you're 18,
kind of, yeah. When you,
as long as you're under my roof,
when you tell your kids and it's like, okay, we're going to do this different. And they're like, what? And it's like, yeah, sometimes we're going to change it. So I would say, most of the time is when you're teaching like a single student something, like obviously as a band program, we're trying to train our kids to be good players individually, but also be able to play together in a drum line when they get older, or a percussion ensemble or whatever. So we want them to all be playing in the same way. But if you've got a kid and they're maybe learning a solo, or they're learning honor band auditions or whatever it is, that student could maybe benefit from a different sticking on something. Yeah. Like if they are struggling, you know, maybe they've struggled in sixth grade doing, I don't know, some kind of sticking, and then in seventh grade they have to do that for honor band or something, maybe change it for them, you know, so that it works better for them. Because there are, you know, every kid is different. They might be able to play something way faster, way cleaner, way more consistently in time if you change the sticking. So I think it's okay in that scenario. Another would be like if you're playing something as a group and it might work out better for the group to change the sticking. I mean, I think that's okay. Which I think that in my next bullet is kind of the same, but visually, you know, mostly in drumline, you're going to start seeing a little bit different stuff so you can do visuals, you know, like obviously you can change sticking if you want to bring a hand way up and do multiple notes with the left or some kind of cool sticking variation. Obviously you can change that when they get into marching band. I mean, and you're going to start seeing things like paradiddles. Like you're going to be seeing more rudimental things that are going to stray away from that sixth grade system that you taught them.
Yeah. But like what you just said, so a paradiddle, that is a sticking, that rudiment. It is four notes with the sticking, right, left, right, right, or left, right, left, left, or paradiddle, diddle, whatever you want to talk about. So that doesn't stray away from anything. Like one of the first two or three exercises I teach my sixth graders is like, okay, let's play alternating paradiddles. But yeah, I like what you're talking about, like, especially with a single student. You can always like break the rules, but you just have to have that underlying knowledge and muscle memory. I always tell them like, learn the rules, then break them, you know, you have to have a really good foundation. And a lot of the times, if we're just talking snare drum, it's going to be like a weird rhythm, like maybe an upbeat 16th note triplet into some eighth notes or something, where it's like, well, you could honestly start that on the right or the left. I don't really care. It's whatever it's going to sound best as.
Yeah. Tell them to pick figure out which one.
But you need to land on the right hand here because the roll starts there or whatever. And then a side note I thought about while you were talking before we move on to the next thing. Rolls are going to have stickings too. Like rolls have a check pattern underneath them, a roll base, whatever you want to call it. And so when you are teaching your kids, you know, 9-stroke rolls, 5-stroke rolls, things like that, have them understand the sticking underneath that as well. Like if they have roll, 2-te, 3-te, to 4-te, they're going to have to understand that first 9-stroke roll is right, left, right, left, right. You know, they have to understand the sticking, and that's going to help them start and stop the roll at the correct time. You know, if they're just kind of like buzzing randomly, they're not going to know where that roll needs to stop. If they're metering out that same sticking underneath, you know, underneath their buzz, underneath their roll, then they're going to know exactly when that starts and when that stops, and they're going to stay in time. I just had that thought that rolls have stickings also.
Yeah, no, that's good. Maybe in the future, just like mention that to me before you just bring it up live.
Before I just blurt it out.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, dude. No, that's good. And that made me think, I mean, I pretty much, when we're teaching stickings,
can we sidebar real quick?
We should talk about any time I'm teaching a roll right off the bat, like 9-stroke, 5-stroke, right off the bat, is always start with the right hand. Like I don't even think I ever teach starting a roll until it's like a triplet.
Right.
Like until you're going da 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 da, buzz, 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 tap. It's like then I would start with my left. I think it's good for sixth graders. Like you should start that process of starting. Like have them practice starting a roll with their left hand. You know, maybe if you're practicing 9-stroke rolls right off the bat, or 5-stroke, whatever you do first, have them start with their right, have them kind of start with the left. Because I do find, you know, I think in our 7th grade all region stuff, we do have like a roll that starts on the left hand that ends on the right, like a triplet roll with diddles at 220. And
Wow. For 7th grade.
And yeah. And like,
and a high mom,
it's a lot easier to not begin that process of having them know how to do that in 7th grade when they've got to play that piece in a couple months. So
sure.
Developing the skill is good, but yes, most of the time all of my roles start with the right hand. That was a good subtopic.
Cool.
To bring up.
Well, yeah. So let's move on to kind of this last section here. So this is kind of like another example of when you could break the rules, you know. So this is like stickings when you're playing timpani or mallet instruments. Toms would, you know, like auxiliary multi-percussion setups, two different surfaces, whatever. Say you have, you, I always go to the one, teta, two, right? Say you have that rhythm for a measure. One, teta, two, teta, three, teta, four. And you're playing on timpani. But it's like bum, ba, ba, bum, ba, ba, bum, ba, ba, bum, right? It's, it wouldn't make any sense to use right hand lead on that because the low drums are on the left side of your body and the high drums are on the right. So it wouldn't make sense to cross your hands and go right, right, left, right, right, left, right. It's way easier to keep your hands open and then use what I guess what we would call a left hand lead sticking. Left, left, right, left, left, right, left.
How dare you say that?
Yeah, which I can't say nearly as fast. Right, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, right, left. Yeah, well, right, I messed it up right, there.
Yeah, yeah.
Left, left, right, left, left, right. That's hard to say. Anyway, I think you understand what we're saying. That will come up with keyboard as well. If you're playing, you know, if you have an octave jump and it's like one te, like that. Okay, well, yeah, on snare drum, we play one te, right, left. But it doesn't make any sense to cross your hands and play right, left. It's much easier to just keep your hands open. So, you know, those are some of the caveats. Those are some of the fluid, nuanced things of sticking where, yeah, you have to learn the foundation and that always has to be your first go-to, but then it's totally okay. So kind of what I tell my kids is if you're going to break the rules, you have to have a good reason. Like you're going to have to justify why you're playing a different sticking there. And like, as my kids get older, and I'm teaching them lessons or we're working on stuff. It's like, hey, I noticed you played a different sticking there. That's okay. But can you tell me why you chose that? And most of the time they have an intelligent answer like, oh, well, if I do this, then it's easier to do that. And I end up on my right hand here. But if they're like, I don't know, I just played it that way. I'm like, okay, well, that's dumb. You should think more. So, yeah. And then like the direction you are moving matters. So, you're the one that actually typed that. You talking about like as you're moving to the right, you want to lead with your right hand. And as you're moving to the left, you want to lead with your left. That way you're not pushing.
Yeah, yeah. So like I was imagining if you have a tom part, you know, if you're playing like four toms. And it depends on how you set your toms up too. I mean, we could have a section of an episode on that too. If you set them up like tenors, like quads, then you'll play it like that. But if you've got them set up kind of in a row and you're kind of going dun 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 dun, then you're going to want a right hand lead. If you have to bring it back down, then you want to lead with that left. So your hands never cross. So yeah, what I meant by that is just the direction that you're moving on woodblocks or mallets or timpani or whatever, toms, even drum set. I mean, a lot of this can lead a drum set too. The direction you're moving, you kind of want to figure out the best way to not have your hands get in each other's way, which mostly means that you're going to be doing right hand lead if you're moving to the right or left hand if you're going to the left. So, I can get now why people just stick to using, you know, alternating or hand to hand as like the base of what they do. But I think it's mostly if you think of people who are educating sixth graders to be in a drum line eventually.
Right.
You think about right hand lead because that is going to have a higher chance of your kids playing together instead of not together.
There's less room for error too. It's like, you know, when my kids, when we start band camp this week and we play like, you know, 16th timing or whatever, like they know one, teta, two, or if I write in like whatever, like a unison rhythm at the end of a phrase or something in the show, of course I'm going to usually put the sticking in anyway, but there are lots of times where I don't write sticking and they just know, okay, if there's not a sticking written, I just do right hand lead and they know how to play that. So it just makes things faster when you're trying to play things in a group too. So yeah. Lots of good stuff, man. Talking about sticking it's like one of the most important, you know, aspects of being a percussionist, because it's literally like how, I mean, I don't know if you, I guess you could say it's part of technique, kind of like you can get the right sticking and have horrible technique because sticking.
I would just say it's a major part of learning how to play the drums or percussion.
Yeah. It's just,
I think it really sets you up for reading music faster.
Like, for sure.
I think if you're sight reading, which again, our kids have to sight read for Allstate and stuff like that. Like if you can look at something and know exactly what your hands need to do, then it's just easier. I mean, it's just a whole nother level of smartness.
Well, since intelligence. Since you said that, it's time for listener mail. No, that sounded like what podcast people say. No, you said that though, and I do like that made me think. Yeah, if you have a sticking system ingrained in your brain, like not only are you just not going to have to think about stickings most of the time, you're also going to understand, like it's going to help you stay in time and it's going to help you not get lost. Because if you know, like, you know, one of the things that kids start to get lost in early is when we start stringing beats of 16ths together, right? So like, maybe they're good with like 1 tee 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 2, or maybe they're even good with like 1 tee 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 2 tee 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 3 tee 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 4 or something. But once you start stringing like 1 tee tee 2 tee 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 3 tee tee, and you start doing like half beats together, you know what I mean? Like you start putting a lot of 16ths in a row. You familiar with 16ths?
It helps them mathematically stay on track.
Yeah, it's just like they know like, oh, I know that rhythm, my right hand's going to end it. Or I know that rhythm, my right hand's going to start right there. And that's in the middle on beat three. And like, that's just going to keep you on track, basically. So anyway, this is just really important. If you teach your kids anything, teach them how to play rhythms with the correct stickings. And don't use the word right. Be like, so that's a left hand? And you're like, right. And they're like, oh, wait a minute.
Correct.
Yeah, I have to say correct all the time. So. Or yes.
Yeah.
That is appropriate. Anyway, man, you got anything else? Oh, I did have a story.
Okay. Is that cool? I guess I don't.
Okay.
I'll tell your story.
Good. You don't even
you
know
tell
what
me
it
if
is.
I'm telling it right or not.
So when I was on
is this a sticking story?
It is. Okay. It is okay. Like a demonstration, of a sticking story. So sounds really riveting. It's actually pretty good. So when I was on the drumline in college at Oklahoma State Go Pokes, we had he wasn't a grad student, but it was like his fifth year in school. He was like a performance major. He was on the drumline for a long time, but a lot of the times where we went to school, if there was someone who was like this was their fifth year, our professor would usually have them like step out and tech instead of like take that performing spot from another person, you know, because we had like lots of people auditioning for that drum line every single year. So it's like, if you'd been marching for 4 years, you're done. If you're still there, you can tech or something. So anyway, he let this guy who both of us are still friends with, good guy, but it was just a funny story. He let this guy write a show, like he does with a lot of his older undergrad students or graduate students. So he wrote a show and he wrote this lick that, you know, we were all super used to. Right? Where you like float that. It's like para to the left, para to the left. And you float that left hand. But he wrote it off the left hand. And it was like absolutely like this. I remember it was for the snare line. It was so horrible. We're trying to read this music. And our professor's out there and he's like, okay, hey, snares, play that measure. And it's just like, you know, sounds like a bag of rocks falling down the bleachers and it's just horrible. And he's like, okay, now play that off the right hand. And then it's like completely clean. And he's like, that's why sticking matters. That's why you don't, but he did it like while the guy was standing there and it was right. Like funny. So I don't know if you guys like that story, but I tell myself, I tell my kids that story every laughing. Night. Yeah.
I'll add some laughter laughing sounds at the end.
Just do crickets. That would be good.
Okay. Anyway. I think that's a perfect example of like when kids or whatever young adults are taught a certain system and it holds on in their brain and becomes something that they know what to do. And so,
yeah,
I'll sometimes have kids, they'll have a solo. I'll give them a solo and it has like pre-written in stickings from the composer. And they'll be like, you taught me how to do it different. I'm like, yeah, just do it. Look at the sticking, but use what we, you know, what we have taught you in case it's different or something. So anyway, that's all I've got on stickings. I'm sure we left some stuff out, but I think that's some good info.
Sure.
To justify people to use.
If you think we're done, I guess so.
I think that's a good day's work. You're talking about The Office.
If you can put your name on the day and yeah, Joe.
I'm kind of excited for the paper.
Don't know what that show is.
It's not a remake, but it's from the world of The Office
or whatever.
Yeah, Oscar Martinez is going to be like, he works there.
Oh, I think I saw something about this. Okay. That'd be cool. Soon?
September, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got a Office Universe show before we got season five of Stranger Things. Yeah.
Yeah, I never would have thought that would happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Whoa.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
Yeah, go practice your stickings. Thank you.